by my Wu-Tang style.
Caroline, Willie, D-Vays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. TD Teron Davenport joins us now an hour earlier than usual. So, TD, appreciate you adjusting your schedule for us with the Titans press conference in 1 hour. We heard last week all the S2 scores were leaked. C.J. Stroud reportedly got an 18 on the test compared to a 98 from Bryce Young and other of these top quarterbacks getting in the 90-80s area. How much weight do you put into the S2 testing? And do you think that C.J. Stroud should be slipping as much as we have heard that he could be?
It's a very small, small part of the process. I don't put much weight into it. If someone tells you that they drop him on the board because of that, I question their process, to be honest with you. I think it's at this point you're splitting atoms, splitting hairs, you know. And I tell you one thing, this is supposed to measure like their decision making and those type of things. He made some pretty good decisions against Georgia, a team that was full of future NFL defensive players. I go by what these guys do on the field. I don't place as much weight in some brand new testing that, you know, wasn't out, 10 years ago and when people were still evaluating quarterbacks.
So I'm sure I've asked you this question so many times before, but with new information that we're getting seemingly by the hour, how would you now rank the quarterbacks in this year's draft between Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, and C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, I still go the same. I go Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. Then I go Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, and Will Levis. That's the way I've always looked at it, and, you know, that's the way I'll continue to look at it. And those are my thoughts.
We're talking with Teron Davenport. Now, TD, you're right. That Georgia game I think for a lot of people, solidified C.J. Stroud as a player. I did have some small concerns about him because of not necessarily his whole season, but the last 2 years versus Michigan, where he just didn't, you know, he nor his team showed up. It was more evident this year when they went into Ohio State and beat Ohio State in that fashion. But then he comes back and play that way versus Georgia. But looking at C.J. Stroud, do you think there's a possibility that he can potentially slip to the Titans, or do you think the Titans would have to move up to get him?
I really think they're going to have to move up to get him. I don't see him slipping to 11. I think right there in that the Lions pick at number 6, like right in that range, that's where they would have to, at a minimum, move up to get him. I feel that way strongly. I mean, there's just too many teams that are in need of quarterback, and he's, in my opinion, the second-ranked guy, and a lot of people will place him there. So, yeah, you got to move up.
Now, again, this seems like this quarterback rumors, not only from the guys in this year's draft, but even more rumors now that are coming out about Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, we heard these rumors early on about a potential trade with him. Now, as we get closer to the draft, we're starting to hear it again. How much stock do you put into it, or do you just think it's the same old stuff we've been hearing for the last month?
Yeah, I think it's the same old stuff, and it to me is conjecture. I think you really have to look at the wording here. No one is saying that the Titans have made Ryan Tannehill available. You look at Jeremy Fowler's quote. He said, "Teams believe." Okay, yeah, I mean, I believe I could fly. That doesn't mean I'm a bridge to go fly, you know what I mean? So I don't necessarily put too much stock in that. This is the time where you're going to have a lot of things floating around, and, I mean, that's draft season, right? That's what you get, and that's why I love this time, but I hate it at the same time because like, the things just get – it just gets ridiculous.
Teron, I have to say I am compelled with all of the different angles on this evaluation of these quarterbacks, because we can all relate. Like the quarterbacks, we're all watching the quarterback with every football game we're watching, right? We're not watching the outside linebacker as closely, so I can see how it just, you know, it gets into our mindset. We want to hear the next thing. So one thing they were kicking around this morning, and this reminded me of the Jay Cutler thing when he was being compared to Vince Young and Matt Leinart that same year. They were talking about with Stroud. Stroud is surrounded with 4- and 5-star recruits, star players, especially at wide receiver. He's got great players around him. Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, not nearly the case. They're having to elevate players around them, even though they're at, you know, SEC schools. So what's your theory on that? When you evaluate these guys, how do you evaluate that part of it?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate when a guy gets penalized for having good teammates. You got to watch, though. You look at some of the throws, like Jackson Smith and Jigba. One of the things I really like about him is how he works the middle of the field and gets yards after the catch. Well, guess what? You're not going to get yards after the catch if the ball is not placed in an area where you could accelerate through it, catch it, and run, right? So there's a good part of his responsibility for Marvin Harrison Jr. being so good, for Chris Olave being so good, for Garrett Wilson being so good. Someone has to throw them the football. So I'm looking at the throws. And for my money, Bryce Young is a great quarterback. He's going to be really good. I like C.J. Stroud's accuracy. I believe that he's the most accurate quarterback in this draft. So a lot of what he brings to the table is helping make these guys good. It's a team type of thing. It's a 1-2, and they're working together to put up the numbers that they've put up. So that's what I look at. I think C.J. Stroud is a guy that is, you know, underrated for his mobility as well. And like I said, his number one trait is that accuracy.
If one of these guys falls to 11, in other words, the Titans just had to sit there and it falls to them where one of these quarterbacks, or maybe even two, are sitting there, do you think they'll draft a quarterback?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's funny because we did the NFL Nation mock draft. And that's going to be on ESPN2 tomorrow at 6 p.m. And that's exactly what happened. There was a quarterback sitting there at pick 11. You have to tune in to see what I did. But, you know, I think there's a good chance that they would take a quarterback, because you have to look. Like, I would imagine they don't plan to be at number 11 again, you know, for quite some time. And then in addition to that, we know the deal with Tannehill with the two voidable years left on the deal. So it could definitely, I think it will absolutely be in play if one of those guys are there, especially at 11.
TD Jerron Davenport is with us. We've heard rumors all throughout this offseason, and I know that's in fact exactly what they are, is rumors, but about Ryan Tannehill, about Kevin Byard, about Derrick Henry. How realistic do you think it is that one, if not multiple of those three, are not in a Titans uniform in 2023?
Look, you remember last year, just the level of shock that we all had when A.J. Brown was traded. So I'm going to say it's realistic.
That's
I don't
true.
Think it's likely. I don't think they want to get rid of any of those guys. And I think they really feel like they can run it back this year with the guys that they have on the roster. And this year, in my opinion, they're looking at it is to supplement that and give it another shot. I believe that's their mindset. That's their approach. I don't think they're, you know, looking to do anything that will set the franchise back this particular year.
TD Jerron Davenport is with us. I've seen a lot about what people think Rand Carthon should do or is going to do. I've heard the perspective of, you know, he's a first-year GM. He's got nothing to lose. He's going to go for it. And then I've heard the perspective of, you know, he's a first-year GM. He's not going to come in and tear everything down. You know, he's just going to go in and, of course, collaborate with Mike Vrabel. What is your philosophy on a first-year GM and really the amount of shockwaves that a first-year GM can or should send through the organization in year one?
Yeah, I think Rand Carthon has done it correctly. He came in and you look at the scouting staff, the personnel staff. Yeah, he bought Chad Brinker in, who's been a huge asset for him. But what he did was he said, I'm going to adjust to all of you guys. It's easier for me to do that than all you guys to adjust to me. So I think when you look at this, I don't believe they're going to tear it down. And honestly, if they were going to do that, Tannehill would be gone already. Henry would be gone already. You know, they would have already made moves. And then they wouldn't have, you know, so aggressively pursued getting that deal done with Jeffrey Simmons. So I think that what Rand Carthon is going to do is just retool this roster some. But I don't believe it's going to be a teardown. There's a lot of good pieces in position. So there is no need to tear it down. I think it's just a matter of supplementing it, and that's what they're going to do.
Now, we know they have more holes to fill, TD, and one of those holes, or two of them, is the wide receiver position and the cornerback position. Do you believe that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the number one receiver on their board? And if so, well, if not, then who would you say is number one on their board?
You know, I don't believe he's number one on their board. I think, you know, even though he's a guy I think will come in and have an immediate impact, I don't think he's number one on their board. I think they're placing more of a priority on a guy with speed, you know. They haven't brought Jaxon Smith-Njigba here for a visit. That's intriguing. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're not going to take him, but I don't think he's top on their board because I think they're looking for a guy like a Zay Flowers, like that style of player that is an absolute downfield threat in addition to the other stuff that he does. I think that's what they're looking for, more of a speed option. And, you know, you say maybe he's not their number one receiver. I don't know that they'll go receiver first round. I think there may be better value for them at 41, to be honest with you. You know, whether it's a guy like a Jalin Hyatt, you know, or even, you know, later on day two, you know, whether it's, you know, Tyler Scott, those type of players that you don't have to use an 11th overall pick on, but to still have an impact.
Now, quickly, before we get you out of here, Devin Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez? Now, both of these are two of the top-rated defensive backs in this year's draft.
You telling me to pick a Benzo or a Beamer, man? Man, that's tough. That's tough. Because, you know, I love Devin Witherspoon's game. I love those corners. And D-Maze, you could probably relate to it. Like those corners that when you practice against them, you want to fight. You know, like yeah. They're those feisty type of corners. And that's what Witherspoon is. But Christian Gonzalez is so fluent, so big and smooth. You can't go wrong with either one, in my opinion. For me, what I like in a player, I'm going with Devin Witherspoon because he's feisty. He loves to come up and support against the run, and he's very sticky in coverage, and he has ball skills. So I'll go with that, even though Gonzalez is a very attractive player.
TD, I know that this week is going to be a doozy for you, but we appreciate your time. Looking forward to all your coverage throughout the week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you all. Enjoy everything that we got coming.
Awesome. Right, thank you, TD. Chat with you soon. Coming up next, we're going to get into exactly that. D-Mace has looked at the tape. So D-Mace's official pre-draft breakdown of the corners. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and tune into Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, the new Cumberland.com, Smoky Mountaintops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.